And a great big welcome to you, and thank you for joining us for Notable Notes, a new monthly podcast brought to you by Document Records in association with American Sound Archives. I'm your host, Larry Tedder. Thank you so much for joining us. On this show, we will be delving into the history and the country music of the 1920s, and along the way, we'll be hearing recordings by Vernon Dalhart, Carson Robison, Ernest B. Stoneman, and the man that most affectionately call the grandfather of country music. So stay with us. I know you won't want to miss 1 minute of it. Now let's get right to our first recording. Almost since the time that recording sound became a reality, record companies, both large and small, have continually sought out new idioms of entertainment to keep ahead of their competitors. For some unknown reason, however, country music was continually overlooked, citing it more as a folk tradition than an actual vehicle for profit. Most music historians look to our next recording as the actual date of birth for commercial country music. In June 1922, two Texas fiddlers named A.C. Eck Robertson and Henry Gilliland traveled up from Atlanta to New York City to get their music recorded. The two showed up at the Victor Recording Studios with one dressed as a Confederate soldier and one in a cowboy suit, and managed to get an audition as well as a record. Their recording of Arkansas Traveler was among the first known country music recordings in history. Jasper Bisbee was born in upstate New York on July 29, 1843. However, it wasn't until Bisbee was 80 years old that he cut his first record. On November 23, 1923, Thomas Edison met the Bisbee family at the rail station in Newark, New Jersey, and the group went straight to the Edison complex. In the session on that first day, son Earl joined Bisbee on his three-string bass violin and his daughter Beulah on the piano. These selections, however, were not released. The same titles were played the very next day by Bisbee and his daughter on the piano alone. He recorded Opera Reel, adding his own calls, Money Musk with variations, The Girl I Left Behind Me, McDonald's Reel, College Hornpipe, and the song heard here, The Devil's Dream. Born in Jefferson, Texas, with the rather dubious name of Marion Try Slaughter, Vernon Dalhart spent his early life on a ranch, but in 1902 he went to New York seeking a career in music. He took the name of Vernon Dalhart by combining the names of two Texas towns. He sang with the Century Opera Company in 1913, where he performed in the HMS Pinafore. It is believed that his first recording was made in 1917 for the Edison Company. Throughout the rest of the 1920s, Vernon Dalhart made numerous records under many different names. Some reports state that as many as 50 different pseudonyms were used. In 1924, Victor Records was ready to terminate him from their roster of artists when he asked if he could record hillbilly music. He chose the wreck of the old 97, which had been recorded the previous year by Henry Widder. It became country music's first million seller, eventually exceeding 6 million copies and staying in the Victor Records catalog until 1939. This next record is unusual both for Edison and also for Gene Austin, since neither are known for their country blues records. However, before hitting it big as a crooner, Gene Austin, along with George Renaud, experimented with different styles. On Edison, they recorded country songs listed as the Blue Ridge Duo. The real highlight of these recordings is George Renaud playing the harmonica, especially in this next recording, Lonesome Road Blues.
I'm going down the road feeling bad. Oh, I'm going down the road feeling bad. Oh, I'm going down the road feeling bad. And I ain't gonna be treated this way. Oh, I'm going where the chilly wind never blows. Oh, I'm going where the chilly wind
never blows. Oh, my good, where the chilly wind never blows. And ain't it gonna be treated this way. Down in jail on my knees, oh, way down in jail on my knees, that ain't gonna be treated this way. Oh, the BC on cornbread. On cornbread and peas. Oh, the BC on cornbread and peas. That ain't gonna be treated this way. Yes, I'm going where the climate suits my clothes. That ain't gonna be treated this way. Yes, I'm going if I never come back. If I never come back, oh, my going if I never come back, that ain't gonna be treated this way.
Looking for that bully, and bully can't be found. I'm looking for that bully.
And that was Columbia record 15074D, Bully of the Town by Gid Tanner and his Skillet Lickers, recorded April 17, 1926. Ernest Stoneman was one of the first and most popular of the early country artists. He was born in Carroll County, Virginia, and raised by his father and three cousins. In 1924, he set off to New York to get a recording contract, and his first single, The Sinking of the Titanic, became one of the biggest hits of the 1920s. In 1926, he surrounded himself with a full string band, mostly comprised of relatives and neighbors, and began recording for Victor and Edison under his own name and a handful of pseudonyms, most notably the Dixie Mountaineers and the Rail Splitters. His career reached its peak in 1927 when he became the top country artist by recording over 200 songs in 1 year. When the Great Depression hit, Stoneman lost everything and moved his wife and 9 children to Washington, D.C. They remained there in desperate poverty while Stoneman worked odd jobs and tried to reestablish his career. He finally found work at a munitions plant, and at the end of the 1940s, he was able to take his talented group back on the road to perform. By 1956, Stoneman had retired from the munitions plant, and somewhere along the way had earned the nickname Pops. He once again returned to music full-time, appearing with the full Stoneman family and singing lead vocals during their various live appearances and on TV. In 1965, the Stoneman family signed with MGM Records in Nashville and also hosted a nationally syndicated TV show. In 1967, Pop Stoneman's health began to deteriorate, although he continued recording and performing throughout the spring of 1968. Ernest V. Pop Stoneman died June 14, 1968. Here now is Edison record 51823R, recorded June 22, 1926, The Sinking of the Titanic.
People began to cry, saying, Lord, I'm going to die. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. There were husbands and wives, little children lost their wives. It was sad when that great ship went down. When they were building the Titanic, they said what they could do. They were going to build a ship that the water could not go through. But God with his mighty hand showed to the world it could not stand. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. There were husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. When they left England, they were making for the shore. The rich, they declared they would not ride with the poor. So they sent the poor below, they were the first that had to go. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. There were husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. When Paul was out sailing with men all around, God in heaven on his throne said that man should not drown. If you trust him and obey, he will save you all today. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. There were husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. The people on the ship were a long ways from home. With friends all around them, didn't know their time had come. But death came riding by, 1600 had to die. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. There were husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. When the Titanic was sinking, was it for people's plea? It was death they were singing, hear my God to thee. Hear my God to thee. When that great ship went down.
Climb up the hill to my Blue Ridge Mountain home.
And that was Vernon Dalhart and Carson Robison singing My Blue Ridge Mountain Home from Edison Diamond Disc 52095R, recorded September the 7th, 1927. That track is also available on our upcoming document CD entitled Vernon Dalhart Puttin' on the Style. One of the most influential groups in country music history is the Carter Family, who helped switch the emphasis from hillbilly instrumentals to vocals and made scores of songs which have now become standards in the songbook of country music history. Along with Jimmy Rogers, the Carter Family were among the first country music stars. Comprised of family members A.P. Carter, his wife Sarah, and their sister-in-law Maybelle, the Carter Family sang with a pure and simple harmony that influenced not only the numerous other family groups of the 30s and 40s, but contemporary artists as well. The Carter Family signed with Victor Records in 1928, and over the next 7 years the group recorded its most famous songs, including Wabash Cannonball, John Hardy Was a Desperate Little Man, Keep on the Sunny Side of Life, and the song featured here, Wildwood Flower, which also became the Carters' signature theme song. By the end of the 1920s, the group had become a well-known national act, but its income had been hurt considerably by the Great Depression. Because of the financial crisis, all the members became so strapped for cash that they had to disband and move away from their home to find work. In 1929, AP moved to Detroit temporarily, while Maybelle and her husband relocated to Washington, D.C. In addition to the stress of the Great Depression, AP and Sarah's marriage began to fray, and the couple separated in 1932, finally divorcing in 1939. A.P. and Sarah reformed the Carter Family with their grown children in 1952, and over the next 4 years they recorded nearly 100 songs that didn't gain much attention at the time. In 1956, the Carter Family disbanded for a second time. 4 years later, A.P. Carter died at his home in Kentucky. Following his death, the Carter Family original recordings began to be reissued. In 1970, the Carter Family became the first group to be elected into the Country Music Hall of Fame.
To cheer him through life's dreary hour. expected this pale wildwood flower.
Some of the career experience of this next artist was actor, poet, painter, newspaper reporter, set designer, and hobo. Harry McClintock, however, is most remembered for songs about people who choose to do nothing at all, such as Hallelujah, I'm a Bum and the Big Rock Candy Mountain. McClintock also successfully established himself as the copyrighted composer of these numbers, despite the fact that folk music experts and copyright lawyers continue to argue amongst themselves. Known in his recording and broadcast career as Haywire Mac, Radio Mac, or just plain Mac, he made more than 50 records of original songs and folk classics. McClintock was the son of a cabinet maker and began singing in church as a child, and at age 14 he took off on the road. He toured with the Dog and Pony Show as a groomer, but was never paid. Heading to New Orleans and the prospect of warmer weather, he found himself in the company of hobos from all over the land, all of whom had the same idea. At 16, he began playing music on the streets for the promise of spare change. He had discovered what was one of the great secrets of life. Anyone who can sing never has to go hungry. This was when he wrote his first song, The Story of the Big Rock Candy Mountain. It was based on fairy tales he had heard growing up of houses built out of sweet cakes and candy. Except in McClintock's song, there is no evil witch, and it is the hobos, not Hansel and Gretel, who live happily ever after. By 1905, the song had become so popular that he had a printer run off packs of cards with the lyrics printed on them. The popularity of this song was multiplied greatly once McClintock began recording in 1927. Over the next 3.5 years, he would make a total of 41 sides for the Victor Company, with Big Rock Candy Mountain being the huge seller.
One evening as the sun went down and the jungle fire was burning, down the track came a hobo hiking, and he said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away, beside the crystal fountains. So come with me, we'll go and see the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, there's a land that's fair and bright, where the handouts grow on bushes, and you sleep out every night. Where the boxcars all are empty, and the sun shines every day. On the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees, the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, all the cops have wooden legs, and the bulldogs all have rubber teeth, and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. The farmer's trees are full of fruit, and the barns are full of hay. Oh, I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow, where the rain don't fall, the wind don't blow, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, you never change your socks, and the little streams of alcohol come a-trickling down the rocks. The brakemen have to tip their hats, and the railroad bulls are blind. There's a lake of stew and a whiskey too. You can paddle all around them in a big canoe in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, the jails are made of tin, and you can walk right out again as soon as you are in. There ain't no short-handled shovels, no axes, saws, or picks. I'm a-going to stay where you sleep all day, where they hung the Turk that invented work in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. I'll see you all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountains.
Originally started by his brother-in-law, Charlie Poole, the North Carolina Ramblers were already an established country music group by 1925 and recording regularly for Columbia Records. In 1928, a salary dispute between Rohrer and his brother-in-law caused the group to split. Posey Rohrer then went on to record a handful of sides for Edison starting in late 1928. The selection heard here, which is an unreleased Diamond Disc test pressing, is taken from one of those early sessions. The Depression hit both Poole and Rohrer hard, and by 1930 both groups under the name of the North Carolina Ramblers had disbanded. Both men lived life hard and fast and drank heavily. Poole died of heart failure after a drinking binge in 1931, and Posey followed shortly thereafter in 1935.
Yeah, we're off and tossing, driven on this restless sea of time, rolling clouds and howling tempests off to see the bright sunshine in the land of perfect day. When the mist rolls away, we will understand it, but I'll buy it by. By and by, oh, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We'll tell the story how we overcome, and you'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things of life and man, want the shelter and the food with thirsty still the very man. But we trust in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it, but by and by. By and by, oh, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home, will tell the story. Trials hard on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to this blessed promised land. But He guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it, but by and by. By and by, oh, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We'll tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it well by and by. Yet temptation, sin, snares often take us unaware, and the heart can make us bleed, fallen word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, oh, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home, will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
Frank Luther's principal claim to fame is as the writer of the music hall standard, Barnacle Bill the Sailor, which he wrote with Carson J. Robison. Although born in Missouri, Luther was raised in Bakersfield, California. His earliest experiences were as a singer-pianist with gospel quartets. In the late 1920s, Frank moved to New York City and formed his own group, and began recording for Edison, Victor, Conqueror, and Decca Records. From 1933 through 1935, Frank was a regular guest on Ethel Park Richardson's dramatizations on the NBC network, which helped teach New Yorkers of the wonders of folk culture, and during this time he made some early country music movies. Frank moved into children's records during the late 1930s and early 1940s, primarily recordings of stories, ballads, and cowboy songs. Later in life, he lectured on American music and wrote the book Americans and Their Song. Here now, in a September 27, 1928 recording, Frank Luther is doing a cover of Harry McClintock's Who Said I Was a Bum?
I've traveled east, I've traveled west, I've been in every state. A member of the Knights of Rest with dues paid up to date. There's just two things that I despise, two things I always shirk. The first thing is a cake of soap, the other one is work. My life to me is just a spree, I'm always on a lark. Somebody said you're just a bum, and I don't like that remark. Who said I was a bum? Who said I was a bum? I haven't worked in 20 years, I guess I'm not so dumb. And as I tramp along the road, the people hear me hum. I know I'm a hobo, but who said I was a bum? I must admit I never fit in any job and say, whenever I see a pile of wood, I look the other way. I haven't shaved in most a year, I really am afraid, because I fear my wire beard would break the razor blade. The other day, while on my way, a cop gave me a chase. I thought I heard him holler, take that mattress off of your face. Who said I was a bum? Who said I was a bum? I've been in every hospital that ever was built by gum, and every time they operate, they just cut out my rum. I know I'm a hobo, but who said I was a bum? My coat is torn, my shoes are worn, there's holes in both my toes. And what is worse, I always nurse a blossom on my nose. And with a glance, you'll see my pants are baggy at the knees. They're worn so thin, I feel the wind blow through my DVDs. But I ain't gotta worry, boys, now what do you think of that? There's nothing ever on my mind except my old straw hat. But who said I was a bum? Who said I was a bum? Don't think I'm a lonesome guy because I look so glum. I've got a lot of cooties and they keep me busy some. I know I'm a hobo, but who said I was a bum? I travel in the best of style, no matter what the rate. I ride inside door Pullman cars, some people call them freight. I only eat one kind of food, just one, not anymore. I mean the kind of food they hand me out the kitchen door. From coast to coast, no man can boast such popularity. Wherever I stop, there is a cop who waits to welcome me. But who said I was a bum? Who said I was a bum? I've been in all the finest jails beneath the shining sun. Each time I face the judge, I've gone for many months to come. I know I'm a hobo, but who said I was a bum? Now any place I hang my hat is home sweet home to me. Oh, how I love the man that wrote that sweet old melody. Another song I'm wild about, it hits me way down deep. A tune I'm always singing, please go away and let me sleep. The millionaire is worried with a lot of bills to pay, while all I have to worry about is whether I'll eat today. So who said I was a bum? Who said I was a bum? Fifth Avenue and I are through, to me it's just a slum. I'll tell you who I really am, I hope you'll keep it mum. I know I'm a hobo, but who said I was a bum?
Sweetheart of mine, sweetheart divine, come have the last waltz with me. I love you so, I want you to know, you're mine till eternity. We'll dance the whole waltz through, while I whisper love words to you. Let's dance while they are playing the Wednesday night waltz. Let's join the couple swaying before the music falls. Close to my heart I press you to prove my love is not false. Sweetheart, let me caress you to the wind. you would love me too. I saw it deep in your eyes. Now life's complete. You are so sweet. You're just a wonderful prize. I love to hold you near and hear you say, I love you, dear.
And that was Frank Luther and Carson Robison under the pseudonym of the Jimson Brothers doing the Wednesday Night Waltz. This was taken from an unreleased Edison lateral pressing recorded March 5, 1929. Carson Robison was born near Oswego, Kansas, August 4, 1890. His father was a champion fiddle player, and his mother was a pianist and singer, and by the age of 14, Robison was proficient enough to sing and play the guitar professionally. He left home and worked with various dance bands and radio stations, developing into a multi-instrumentalist for Victor Records when he recorded a whistling solo for them in 1924. Between 1924 and 1928, Robison was associated with Vernon Dalhart, singing tenor harmony and playing the guitar. Together, they recorded The Wreck of the Old No. 9, My Blue Ridge Mountain Home, and Golden Slippers. In 1928, a salary dispute led to the breakup between Dalhart and Robison. Both men set out on their own. He put together a group known as Carson Robison's Madcaps, and recorded for Edison in 1929 this pioneering piece of Western swing entitled Nonsense. Thank you. Known affectionately to a legion of fans as the grandfather of country music, Jimmy Rogers was born on September 8, 1897, in Meridian, Mississippi, the youngest of three sons. His mother died when he was a very young boy. Jimmy's love for entertaining came at an early age, and the lure of the road was irresistible to him. By age 13, he had twice organized and begun traveling shows, only to be brought home by his father. Both of these incidents shed light on his drive to perform. Not long after that, Mr. Rogers found Jimmy his first job working on the railroad as a water boy on his father's gang. In 1924, at the age of 27, Jimmy contracted tuberculosis, and the paradox of this development is that the disease temporarily ended his railroad career, but at the same time gave him a chance to get back to his first love, entertainment. In February 1927, Asheville's first radio station, WWNC, went on the air, and on April the 18th at 9:30 p.m. that evening, Jimmy Rogers and Otis Kuykendall performed for the first time on the station. A few months later, Jimmy recruited a group from Tennessee called the Tenniva Ramblers and secured a weekly slot on the radio station as Jimmy Rogers' entertainers. In late July 1927, Rogers' bandmates got word that Ralph Peer, a representative from the Victor Talking Machine Company, was coming to Bristol, Tennessee to audition and record area musicians. Rogers and the group quickly mobilized and arrived in Bristol on August the 3rd. Later that same day, they auditioned, and Peer agreed to record them the next day. That night, as the band discussed how they would be billed on the record, an argument ensued, which led to Jimmy to declare, "All right, I'll just sing it by myself." On Wednesday, August 4th, Jimmy Rogers completed his first session for Victor. For the test records of Sleep Baby Sleep and The Soldier's Sweetheart, Rogers received $100. The recordings were released in October of 1927 to modest success, and in November of that year, Jimmy headed to New York City to arrange another recording session. Peer agreed to record him again, and the two met in Philadelphia before traveling to Camden to the Victor Studios. Four songs made it out of that session, but the biggest by far was Tea for Texas, which is also known as the Blue Yodel. The song was an instant hit, selling nearly 500,000 copies in just a few months, and was impressive enough to rocket Rogers into stardom. After this, he got to determine when Peer and Victor would record him, and he sold out shows whenever and wherever he played. With the country in the full grip of the Depression, the practice of making field recordings was quickly fading. So in May 1933, Rogers traveled again to New York City for what was to be his last group of recording sessions, beginning on May 17th. It was clear that TB was getting the better of him. He started these sessions recording alone and completed four songs on the first take, but it was clear that Rogers was exhausted. When he returned to the studio after a day's rest, he had to record sitting down, but soon retreated back to his hotel in hopes of regaining enough energy to finish the songs he'd been rehearsing. The recording engineer hired two session musicians to help Rogers when he came back to the studio a few days later. Together, they recorded a few songs, including Mississippi Delta Blues. Within 36 hours after that session, the grandfather of country music was dead. Thankfully, his legend and his legacy live on through his recordings. Here now is Jimmy Rogers on Victor Recording number 22-271, recorded October 22, 1929, The Yodeling Cowboy.
I don't know where I'm going to, but I'll get there all right. I have no one to care for me, I have no place to go. Everybody knows I'm just a yodeling hobo. I'll be yodeling, I'll be yodeling, I'll be yodeling. I've been all around. been around most everywhere. But I love that dear old sunny South. I love that Texas air. Away out where the men are men, down in El Paso, that is where they call me a yodeling hobo. I'll be a lady, I'll be a lady, I'll be a lady, on a lady, on a lady. All my life I've traveled, I'm Alabama bound, and now I'm always happy in a city of one horse town. I started out to roaming, 'cause I had no place to go. Now I've turned out to be a yodeling hobo. I'll be a lady, I'll be a lady, I'll be a lady, a lady, a lady. Now you have heard my story, so I'll be on my way. I hear a Bristol freight train, and it's calling me. And when the sun sinks in the west into that dark blue sky, just say that I'm a hobo and will be till I die. I'll be a lady. I'd a little old lady, little lady, old lady, old lady, old lady.
And we thank you for joining us on this, our premier podcast of Notable Notes, as we looked at the country music scene of the 1920s. We hope you'll join us next month when we look at the Edison lateral cut recordings from 1928 and 29. This has been your host, Larry Tedder, thanking you for joining us here on Notable Notes. This program is produced by Document Records in association with American Sound Archives. Join us next month for another edition of Notable Notes.